I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands.
One nation.
Under God.
Indivisible.
With liberty and justice for all.
I don't know about you, but I didn't get very much sleep last night because my neighborhood was lit. Lit to the gill. They're like, no Lodi Lake fireworks? No problem. They've got it covered. My neighborhood is on point. But I just want to say thank you all for being here today. I know like we've got your mask and I've got mine and all of you are trying your best to do the, yeah. Wow, fancy stuff. Oh my goodness gracious, that is fancy. Let's give it up for this tech team who has been working overtime. And the worship team that's been working overtime. You know, with everything going on and all the stuff that we're trying to do right now with doing online service. Hello online, we see you, we love you. Come on, let's let online know that we love them too. With all of that stuff going on, you'll notice that the team is working extra. The team is working extra hard to try and make the experience great, to try and make the experience something that everyone can enjoy, whether it's online or whether it's in the house. But I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you this, that there's nothing that can replace this. Not ever. Not ever. This was designed, this whole ministry thing, this whole church thing, everything, this was designed to be eyeball to eyeball. We are supposed to be face to face so that we can minister to each other in person. Now, if you're watching us online today, I want to let you know that we love you so much and we're going overboard. We're doing as much as we can possibly do to make sure your experience is so great because of everything that we're seeing in our nation, everything we're seeing in our country, everything we're seeing in our cities, everything that we're trying to do. But I got to let you know, whatever you need to do, if you can't make it here to church, I'm talking online. I'll be back to you guys in just a second, okay? I'm talking online for just a minute. But if you can't make it here in person, I just want to let you know that do anything you can do. Do anything you can do to get eyeball to eyeball to somebody. That's just the phrase I'm using to, we need to be face to face. We've got to get connection. We've got to be connected with one another. It's just crucial. It's critical. And so while you're here, if you are here, just know this, that Don't let this day, don't let this morning, don't let this experience pass you by without connecting with someone, without finding some connection point with someone, because people at an exponential rate are feeling depressed, anxious, stressed out. I mean, the news is just coming at us at every side, and social media is coming at us from every single side. People are getting news and doctor's reports, and it's just really hard right now. I don't care who you are. It's really, really tough. And so you know what? While you're here, let's just let the house of God be what the house of God was supposed to be, a place of encouragement, a place of love, a place where we're getting the word of God inside of us to displace some of that junk, to displace some of that misery, to displace all of that guilt, regret, and shame. If you are feeling any of that, can I hear an amen right now? Okay, this message can wait. I'll be there in a second. Okay, this is too important. This is too important because it seems like every day, every week goes by. I can't keep up with all the different stuff that we need to do, that we're supposed to do to stay safe, to do this, to do that. But you know what stays true, what stays solid is that we need to be the church. We are the church. And we need to keep acting like it, that we are the hands and feet, the arms and legs of Jesus to move about in this community, to move about and bring hope, encouragement, and love that I know he's going to bring to you today. That goes for y'all. I'm looking at y'all that are here because there's people outside too. It's like they're in person, but I can't see them either. It's crazy. It's crazy time. And that goes for you too, listening online. That God has a message of hope, encouragement, and love that he means to speak into your life today. And if you believe that with me, come on, everybody, say amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Let's celebrate because God is good. Man, we got to find ways to celebrate these days. I'm not kidding around. We need to look for wins, something that our team does on a regular basis. Every rally, you know, we go out here, the dream team, the ones that greet you, the ones that set up everything, the ones that are doing everything to make sure online is flowing, all the team. We always celebrate wins. And you know, right now in this season, I ought to just let you know, you ought to be doing this in your own life. Look for the wins. We get beat up enough as it is. All you got to do is drive to the grocery store, man. Somebody probably tell you you're number one for cutting them off or whatever. It happens. It happens all the time. We need to be looking for wins in our life. Hey, what's a small victory that I can celebrate right now? What's a small victory that I can celebrate? Because it happens to me too. I hope this isn't too graphic for you. I find myself in the shower or something and I'm rehearsing in my mind the negative stuff. Anybody else? Man, I'll be rehearsing that negative stuff. I'll be rehearsing the things that are going wrong, the uphill battles. I'll be rehearsing all the things that people said to me or said about me to someone else, and I'll be rehearsing those. But you know what we ought to be doing? And I had to remind myself of this today. Celebrate those wins. Let's celebrate the wins. I need to celebrate the wins in my life. The fact that I was able to sit with my family last night and look at cheap fireworks go off and then some neighbors blowing up some expensive ones. Woodbridge be holding it down big time, all right? I just let you know, other than not having to pay City of Lodi, if you go over to Woodbridge, okay, you're laughing because you know, it's true. It's like, get a City of Lodi, get out of here with all of that. Actually, I did wear my running for mayor outfit. I don't know if you noticed that today. Real political, but here in Woodbridge, okay, they don't care. They don't care. There's like a fire department right there. They're shooting Roman candles right in front of the fire department like, what you gonna do about it? You ain't gonna do nothing. But celebrating those wins, like I got to do that last night. I got to hang out with my family and some friends and just socially distance, of course. And we got to celebrate that. That's a win. Why don't I think about that instead of think about all the things that are going wrong or the bad report that I got or the negative things? Man, y'all could go home right now. Like, I'm good. I got what I need. I need to celebrate the wins. We're good. But I actually do have a prepared message for you. Wow, it's been a while since I went off on a tangent like that. If you don't know me yet, and if anybody online doesn't know me yet, my name is Elliot. My wife, Tiffany, and I have the great privilege of pastoring this group of people called Lifeline Church. Give it up for yourselves because you're amazing. Go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I do believe God has a message of hope, encouragement, and love for you. I got a question for you. Have you ever been disrespected, insulted, made to feel like you don't get it? I think we've all felt that way. And these days, it's all the rage. It's all the rage. But you know what? Today, we're going to talk a little something about honor. I'm going to talk to you about it in a minute, but that's just the title for today. And our mission here at Lifeline Church is to be a lifeline. Our mission is to be a lifeline and to help people, lead people into becoming lifelong followers of Jesus. That's what we're all about here. I don't know if you ever wondered, hey, what's the church all about? We're all about being a lifeline by leading people into becoming lifelong followers of Jesus. And it's a true privilege to be a part of that. Last week, Tiffany talked about diversity in the church. She did a great job on that. You can find that on YouTube. You can find that on Facebook. Don't look at anything else. Just go straight to that message. Look at that. And then turn it off again, okay? Next week, we're going to talk about giving up all media. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But maybe I will. I don't know. Next week, we're starting a new series. Called Living on Purpose. See, we got a nice little graphic for you. See, people work hard. People work hard to make it all work for you. It's a series that asks, what if losing was actually winning? Go ahead and leave that up for just a second. Living on Purpose. Living on Purpose is a series all about what if losing was actually winning? What if I could let go something to gain something greater? What if less was actually more? So living on purpose could be a bit of a, what the series is really about. Living on purpose means, what do I need to give up to gain what I really want to gain? How can I live in such a way that I can let go something to grow? Starts next week, trust me. I've been thinking a lot about this series, and I cannot wait to bring it to you. But today is all about honor, remembering to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, ensuring justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. We want to know, how can we honor people well? Today is about honor. We want to know, how can we honor people well? We don't want to roll over on issues that matter, but we don't want to push people out of our lives. That's not who the church is. That's not who we're supposed to be. Whether you're exploring faith in Jesus or you're a 20-year faithful believer, I've never met anybody that's like, man, I really don't like people and I want to get them out of here. Nobody really feels that way. But how do we live in such a way that we can still be honoring to people when we have an opinion of ourselves, especially when people don't see things our way? Because as we've learned in weeks past, it's valuable to have people in our lives that don't see things our way. It's valuable. It's diversity. Diversity is valuable in and of itself. It may be difficult to have diversity, to maintain diversity in your life, but it is so important. It's so important. So how do we honor someone else while staying true to ourselves? How can we cultivate a culture of honor? And that's the title of today's message. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. It's called A Culture of Honor. We want to have a culture and an atmosphere. That is what can be expected in a certain place. And a certain place could be the church. A certain place could be my circle. This is like my culture, a culture of honor. I want to have culture around me, in me, and all around us. It's not just you. I've been through this. It's really tough to honor people, especially when you think you're right. So I used to work for, if you've been around any length of time, I've probably told stories about this, but I used to work for a company called Raj's Transport. R-A-J apostrophe S Transport. Raj was my boss, and he owned the company, and I was a non-emergency medical transportation driver. Man, it sounds more glorious than it is. I took people to their doctor's appointments that couldn't get there themselves, paid for by their insurance. And Raj was from Fiji. And Raj is an Indian man with a pretty heavy accent. Loved the guy. An entrepreneur to the T's, man. He had it going on. Raj was my man. And one day, Raj tells me, I'm going to butcher his accent, so I better not do that. Raj tells me, go pick up Manza in a certain way. He says, go pick up Manza. And so I know who Manza is, and the way that that job works is he doesn't give you an address. He doesn't give you a list of places you're supposed to go that day. He gives you a flip phone, And I'm supposed to call him every time. So I'm on the flip phone with him, and he says, go pick up Monza. I'm like, all right, close the flip phone. Go pick up Monza from the home. Pick him up, take him to his appointment. And I call him for my next spot, and he said, no. I said, Manzana. I'm like, no, you didn't. You said Monza. I said Manzana. Monza, Manzana, Monza, Monza. I knew I was right. I wouldn't go to some place I wasn't supposed to go if he didn't say I was supposed to go there. And I said, all right, man. Okay. On my way to pick up Manzana, because that's what you said this time. No, I think anybody who's ever worked in the world, ever, anywhere, any job, has been through a situation kind of like that where it's like, you didn't tell me to do that. I did what I was supposed to do, but now you're coming down on me because blah, blah, blah. I was a baby Christian at that time, but I had to dig deep, everybody. I had to dig deep to say, you're right. I'm wrong. I'll go pick up Manzana. It's hard to honor someone. It's hard to honor someone when you feel so strongly that you are right and they are wrong. Even though everybody knows they're wrong and everybody knows you're right, right? That's what we all think. That's what we all think. Well, it just so happens that Jesus put himself in a situation a lot like this. A lot like this. Not where someone was telling him. Well, actually, yes. Now that I think about it. If you've got your Bible with you, turn to John 4. If you've got your notes with you, if you've got your app with you, go ahead and go to John 4. If you've got a smartphone with you, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app, and there's some notes in there for you. Every week we do this, so you can look forward to it. The YouVersion Bible app has the scriptures and some notes that you can be a part of the service with us there, because we get it all ready for you. Now, John 4, we're going to start in verse 5 and go all the way through verse 26. It's a lot of scripture today. Tiffany makes fun of me sometimes. Why do you use so much scripture? Actually, that's what I make fun of her about. And so, but I've got the microphone, so I can say whatever I want. It's perfect. She's out there half laughing, half scowling right now. Love you, honey. I can see you right there. So John 4, this, if anybody knows already, this is the Samaritan woman at the well. But I'm going to explain this scripture in such a way where it's actually Jesus showing honor. And he gives us a list of things that we can do to honor other people. So starting in John 4, verse 5, and by the way, Jesus chose to travel to this place. We need to know that. He chose to travel to a place that was bound to bring conflict. It's almost like he wanted it or he wanted something. But his disciples wanted no part of this. Actually, any Jewish person would have said, no, we need to go around this area, Sychar, this city, because we want no part of this. But Jesus says, no, I'm gonna go there. He went to this place, bound to bring conflict and misunderstanding. This was expected. Verse 5 starts like this. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. More on that some other time. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Verse 7 says, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Now, the first thing I want you to realize about what's happening here is that to show honor, a good thing that you can do is be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. Sharing your weakness is the first step in building trust. Be vulnerable. Jesus was a King of Kings, okay? He could have made water out of air, but no, he didn't. He chose to show his vulnerability to this woman. And so I would say to you, the first step in showing honor, even if you think you're right, know you're right, is to show your vulnerability to someone. Be vulnerable. Verse 8. He was alone at this time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift of God had for you that you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. Next thing I want you to know is if you want to show honor, you should be generous. Be generous. It's hard to be honoring if you are not generous to the person across from you. Showing honor is a generous act, and there can be no honor without generosity. If you're struggling with honor, pray for generosity in your life. Pray that God would help you be more generous. Verse 11, "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and animals enjoyed?" You hear that? It's starting to get a little heated now. Starting to get, what you trying to give me something? I got something for you, guy. That's what I hear right there, is that she's starting to come back hot. Verse 13, Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." The next thing I want you to know about honor is to be thoughtful. Look at how Jesus did it. So she came in hot with an issue, with a topic. Any hot button topic will do. But Jesus was thoughtful. Jesus avoided pointless conflict because he knew it would get in the way of his true purpose, which was to bring people together and ultimately save them. But to get tangled up in those weeds was not part of his goal. So he sidestepped it. That was my side. Do you guys like that? Hold on, I'm gonna do one more time. He sidestepped it. Learn to sidestep pointless arguments. Again, you can go home right now, because that's like the best advice you could get. I can't really do better than that. And so just take that with you. Put it in your pocket. Avoid pointless conflicts. Avoid pointless conflicts. And verse 15 says, "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." And then he says, "Go and get your husband. Go and get your..." Now, before some of you Bible scholars ruin it, okay, and you know where this is going, probably. Some of you who've ever read this story before, you already know. But just hang on a second, because I want to show you something else. So don't go ahead of me, okay? Because honoring someone takes being inclusive. It takes being inclusive. Go get your husband. Go get your family. To honor someone is to not just honor them, but to honor who they belong, the tribe they belong to. Now, some of you are thinking, well, he just said that to get to the next part. Well, we're not at the next part yet, okay? We're not there yet. He was being inclusive. It happened to lead somewhere else, sure. But for right now, he's just being inclusive. You can't honor someone who you're excluding or being exclusive. Being exclusive, you think it does. You think being exclusive honors that person, but it really doesn't. It actually, if you walk down that road of exclusivity too long, you actually just find yourself being like a cult. You find yourself being like, it's like talking bad about someone else. If I'm with you and I talk bad about the person next to you, I think I'm like, oh yeah, we're so close, because I'm talking bad about them, and oh, we share something really close. But actually, I'm dishonoring them, and I'm also dishonoring you, because I'm showing you that I'm willing to talk bad about you. I'm willing to exclude someone else for your sake. And what does that communicate to you? That I am ready to do the same thing against you. That's all that does. So don't be fooled into thinking that being exclusive and be like, oh no, we don't need anybody else. That actually just communicates dishonor, and it communicates disrespect. But it goes on to say, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Oh, spoiler, don't have a husband. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband." Then he kind of goes off here. "You've had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." I'm like, dang, Jesus, could you ease up a little bit? Man, why are you going so hot? But listen to this. Being honoring is being truthful. How did I write it? Be honest. Be honest. To show honor is to be honest. It does not honor someone to lie to them. It does not honor someone to hold back facts. Because see, we think that honor is something that's that's like, I have to flatter you by saying, oh, it's cool. It's cool that, like, so back here, and I know this is like, it could be hot button for some of you sitting in here. It could be hot button for anybody watching. But surely back here, living with a man you were not married to was shameful, not honoring. It was shameful. And Jesus, if he was like modern day Jesus, would have been like, oh, it's cool. Do anything you want. I don't want to lose your attention. No, he didn't do that at all. He actually dove right in and said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I know you're not married to him, and I know you've had five other husbands. So he was honest, and he wasn't afraid to be honest. Don't be afraid to be honest when you're honoring someone. This is where it starts to get difficult. This is where it starts to get difficult, because for us, honesty can mean just being mean. But that's not exactly what it means. And this is what the woman says in response. Sir, you must be a prophet. So she's like, automatically changing the subject. Let's talk about something else, please, because you just called me out on all of my stuff. You must be a prophet. And then she says this, verse 20. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it is here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped? Like, let's talk about something else much. Like, way changing the subject. I know you've all experienced that too. Jesus replied, believe me, now he addresses this one. Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the ones you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the time is coming, and indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. There is something to be said about honor here. There is something to be said about honor here. And the point I'd like to make from this is look beyond race. In fact, I would say look beyond the exterior. Look beyond the exterior. Look beyond what people are saying and look at their heart. What are they going through? What is this woman going through? Instead of dealing with the letter of the law, why can't we just look beyond race? You Jews say this and we Samaritans say that. And he said, you know what? The time is coming and is here now. When true worshipers, you and me both, we'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So let's get over all this exterior stuff. Let's get over all this skin tone stuff, because we're all on the same playing field. And we need to learn to look beyond the exterior. And the exterior could mean a lot of things, not just skin tone, but look past Protestant, Catholic, Pentecostal, all this stuff that you can think of. You know, I should have wrote them down, but now if I say them, I'm going to be off a little bit. But anything exterior. Anything exterior that labels someone. Because true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It's something that happens on the inside. Look beyond the outside, to the inside, to the spiritual. If I could encourage you today to open your spiritual eyes to see the spiritual things that are happening behind the scenes with everything going on. With everything going on. There's plenty going on. There's a bigger picture than the one you can see. Bigger than a protest, there's a spiritual matter behind it. Bigger than a legal mask order, there's a spiritual matter behind this. Bigger than a political race. Like, we don't need to focus so much on these things. If I'm encouraging, I'm speaking to Christians now. If you're on the edge of that and still considering that, then you kind of get a pass from this. But if you call yourself a Jesus-believing, Jesus-follower, if that's you, then you've got to open your eyes and you've got to ask the Father, Lord, help me see what's really going on here so that I know how to pray, so that I know how to talk, so that I know how to interact. Because if I just deal with what's on the outside, I'm gonna miss it. If I just try and deal with the exterior, I'm gonna miss the interior. I'm gonna miss the inside. And Jesus didn't do that. He looked beyond. Samaritan, Jew. I mean, he called it the way it was. The Samaritans, they don't know. They're off. The Jews are on. But We need to look to the inside, because true worshipers, whether Samaritan or Jew, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. The last thing I would encourage you to do about honoring someone is get on the same page about Jesus if you can. Get on the same page about Jesus with whoever's on the other end of this need to show honor. Get on the same page about Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the one who was sent into the world to die for all of our sins. Look for the opportunity to witness about your hope in Jesus. And if you follow these steps through, you just may have an opportunity to do just that. Even in the midst of all this heated stuff, there's heated stuff everywhere. But if we would just stay true to who we are, if we would stay true to the fact that we're following Jesus, and I go out into the world in prayer, covered by my Father in heaven, we're going to have opportunities right now. There's more opportunities than ever before to witness about Jesus. There's more opportunities than ever before because people are hungry. They need hope. They're stressed out, anxious, depressed, scared. People are scared. And we have hope. We have hope to give. If we don't get caught up in all of that mess and caught up in trying to fix everybody's problem, but if we can stay connected to the Father in heaven and stay in prayer and going out with our eyes open to the spiritual things, we're going to have so many opportunities, every single one of you. Because I can't go to your job and minister for you. I can't go to your work and talk to Susie so-and-so. That's on you. And I'm telling you, it's a lot easier than you think it is. Stay in prayer. Look past the natural and into the spiritual. Because for every issue somebody's having, there's a spiritual issue they're wrestling with on the inside. There's something that they're dealing with that is upsetting them on the inside. And if you could just, you know, take the hit, like Jesus did. He took the hit and she was talking bad about him. But Jesus came back and said, no, I can see past that. I know what you need. I know what you need. You're looking for the Messiah. People are looking for Jesus. They're looking for him, the real him. They're not looking for a cool church. They're not looking for three bullet points to a better you. They're looking for Jesus, the real Jesus. The real people are looking for the authentic right now. They're looking for authentic. So be authentically submitted to Jesus. And you will have so many opportunities to reach people for Jesus. What are you guys doing to me? I'm just preaching whatever I want right now. Why did I even bring this? You guys are killing me right now. You guys are absolutely killing me. My big takeaway for the day, and I don't want to miss this, is the harder it is to show honor, the more rewarding it is to do so. The harder it is to show honor to someone, the more rewarding it is to do so. You know, Jesus said something like it. Again, not in your notes. Why did I even bring notes? But Jesus said something to the effect of, you love the people who love you. What benefit is that? Love your enemies. Then there will be a great reward for you. And I'm saying the same kind of thing, but in a different context. Honor people who don't deserve it. And the room went quiet. No, I don't want to do that, Elliot. I'm not exactly into that, because there's a lot of people that don't deserve honor right now, and we need to vote them out, and we need to, you know, get mad at them or whatever, you know. And this is not a political message. This is truly an eyeball to eyeball. This is for your spouse. These are for your friends. This is for your coworkers. This is for your boss. But it also applies to a much larger scale. The harder it is to honor someone, the more rewarding it is to do so. The rest of that story that I didn't read to you is that the woman turned around right there on the spot when Jesus said, I am the Messiah. She turns around right there, goes back into the village of Sychar and brings like everybody else out, and that whole city gets saved because of how Jesus interacted with her in an honorable way. He didn't pull any punches. He didn't lie. He didn't hold back in some areas, but he showed honor and he went past the issue at hand, the thing that blocks us, the things that gets in our way. He went past that and went to the spiritual somehow. And it's like, God, show me how to do that right now because it's just so hard. But I think it's simpler than we give it credit for, just to submit ourselves. That whole city got saved because of that interaction. And that woman is like the first missionary. One of the first messages I ever preached was in San Francisco at a church called Greater Life Church with Sister Sonia is the pastor there now. It's a wonderful place. And if you're watching, Sister Sonia, I love you. And that was one of my first messages ever preached. And it was about the first missionary, which was basically this woman right here. She heard, she went, and she got her whole town saved. There's a man who told me everything about my life, and he's worth following. Come, and she brought everybody in to that. How difficult would it have been? The disciples didn't even want to go there. How do you think they would have talked to her, this woman at the well? Probably not too nice. But Jesus, oh, he shows us what to do. He shows us how to do it. And it's great. A whole people group got unmarginalized because of that interaction. A whole people group, the Samaritans, now thousands of years later, we talk about Samaritans in an honoring way and not in a dishonoring way. Imagine that. Imagine that. Because Jesus took those steps. So I got something to show you, and I hope you really remember this. I hope you remember me curling a pink 3-pound dumbbell. This is what it looks like. So let's say, for example, you are a right-wing conservative. You're flying the flag, and you're going. And this is how hard it is for you to honor our president. It's so easy for you because you love him. And it's easy to honor people that you already agree with. Okay, that's the best picture I could think of to show you. That's what this looks like. Not a political message. This is what it looks like to honor your spouse when they're being irritating. It's a little bit heavier, but it's, again, not too hard because you love them already. This is what it looks like, let's say, to honor your boss, Raj, when they clearly told you to go pick up Manza, but he says, go pick up Manzana, and you go, no, is anybody taking pictures of this? Me working out on the platform? Okay, come on. So I'm just saying, it's like, this looks good on me. Okay, so this is what it looks like to honor your boss, because it's like not a big deal, but this is what it looks like. You know what? No. This is what it looks like. I don't even know if I can do this. This is what it looks like to honor your governor when he tells you to do something that you think is stupid. But you know what? There's gains here. There's gains here. When you learn to honor people that are, it's 40 pounds. I was just trying to show you, it's 40 pounds right there. So stupid. There's more gain. The harder it is to honor someone who's clearly wrong, this is not political at all. Like you'll never know whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat, because I'm not gonna tell you. It's none of your business, first of all, and that's not my role. My role is to tell you, go vote, be a part of the system, honor those who have been appointed over you, for they carry a heavy load. That's my job, and that's just not my flow either. Some pastors might, I don't know, it's just not my flow. It's not how I get down. I don't get political. Because I don't believe it's my job to stir the pot. I don't do that. I just don't do it. But I am here to tell you that no matter who it is, whether it's the governor you hate or the president, there's gains. There's gains when you can learn to show honor to people that you disagree with. I have to use my leg for this, man. I can't show you that anymore. Just picture it. Just picture it. There's gains there. Small gains to honor people you already agree with. Huge gains to honor people that you don't. The harder it feels, the more you'll benefit. So let me tell you how to apply this to your life. And I've got 3 points for you to help you do that. And it's part of, I'm tired now. Hang on. Oh, anybody got any water? I ran out. My friend Matt Lacey, if you're watching, buddy, I love you. Everybody watches these days, so I have to do that like 3 times a message. If you're watching, Pastor Matt, over at Fountain Church. Anybody in the Pleasanton area needs to go to Fountain Church because it's the absolute best church in that area. Hoorah. Pastor Matt is an amazing guy. And at their church, they've got this language there. They've got this. They've got some values, and honor is very, very important to them. And they've got this thing that they say. It's like a mantra. They say, we honor up, down, and all around. If you follow me on social media, I talked about this briefly during the midweek mentoring. Honor up, down, and all around. And this is how it works. Honor up. First of all, we need to learn to honor upward. These are our political leaders, our law officials, your boss, your manager, your parents, your elders. These are anybody that has a position over you or in front of you. Honor up. This does not always mean agreement or flattery. Often that's not the case. We're talking about honor. Honor. To honor up is sort of like to have respect regardless of whether you feel it has been earned. Well, hold on just a second. I give respect when it's, respect isn't given, it's earned. Well, you can make up stuff as much as you want, and you can grow up and hear these things and internalize them and pretend they're in the Bible if you want, but that's not what the Bible tells us to do. Again, if you're a Jesus follower, you don't give respect when it's earned. You show honor where it's required of you. And the room fell silent again. Why would I respect someone who someone earned it? I don't know, because God said so. Romans 13, again, not in your notes, but Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Everyone must, say must with me, must. There's not very many of you in here, but you said it loud that time. I'm really proud of you for that. Everyone submit to governing authorities. Are you sure it says that? That's the wrong translation, Pastor. You ought to use a different translation because that's not what it really means. I'm sorry to say, these translators get it pretty. They do a really good job. Really good job. All authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Make yourself a new mantra. Give respect where it's deserved. Give respect where it's deserved. Give honor where it's deserved, not just where it's earned. Move past that. Honor is more about you than it is about them. Did you know that? I'll say it slower. Hang on. I'll say it way slower. Honor is more about you. Honor says more about you than it does about the one you're honoring. God, for example. I don't have to show honor to God. Does that change his legitimacy? No. It just shows you that I lost my marbles. It says more about me than it does about that person, because we have a whole bunch of cultures, a whole bunch of people that don't honor the one true God. But does that say something about God? I'll move on. Honor down. So honor up is number one. Number two is honor down. These are people like your kids. You're like, what? No, don't say that. Yes, your kids, your subordinates. In some cases, people younger than you, but in sometimes people are placed in authority over you who are younger than you, so not every time, or that your employees or people on a team that you lead. No, this does not mean being passive or weak. Honoring downward does not mean being passive or weak. To honor down means to simply care deeply about the impact that you have on the people following you or beneath you. I don't really like that term beneath, because you're not over them and they're not beneath you. It's more like they're behind, following along. But again, it says more about you than it does about them. It's important to honor down. It's important to honor down. Some people forget about this one. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Not on your notes again. Ephesians 6:9, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. This is employment speak. Employment speak. Don't threaten them. Remember that you have both have the same master in heaven. He has no favorites. The last one is honor all around. honor up, down, and all around. These are your peers. These are your teammates, your coworkers, your spouse, even anyone running the race alongside you. It's important not just to honor up and not just to honor the people below, but to honor all around. And this does not mean insincerity or flattery again. Honor is not flattery, but it's truth, adding value and showing love. It's all the things that Jesus showed us in this story. It's being honest. Being honest and not pulling punches, but also getting past what's on the outside and going to the inside. That's showing honor. Remember, again, I want to tell you again, the harder it is to show honor, the more rewarding it will be to do so. I want you to just imagine, if you can. I know it's really hard right now. Imagine a world where everyone honored each other. It's like so bizarre. It's like bizarro world, backwards world, opposite day. If everyone honored each other, it would feel like opposite day. But just try and imagine that. Try and imagine a world where people truly honored each other, even people of different opinions, different outlooks. You think that would be a better world to live in? Imagine your world, not the world, your world, the world you live in, where you decided to move forward from here on out. I will show honor to people.
From here on out, I will care deeply. The microphone right now. Stay right there. I got another one.
Would you look at that? Going quick. Anthony was like, go get that other one. See, the team is on it right now. Now imagine in your world. Let me pick it up where I left off. Imagine your world where you're showing honor. Where you're deciding to look past those things. Because that's what I'm trying to tell you to do. Not change the world right now. I'm telling you to change your world. Change your outlook. Change the fact that you have control over your situation, your world. You can change that world. And you can change the world through that. But it starts with you, and it starts with your world. It starts with you making the decision. You know what? I'm gonna show honor. Instead of jumping online to show dishonor, jumping online to let everybody know how I feel about it. No, I'm going to decide to show honor instead. I'm going to be an honoring person. Even when people are spitting at you, you can retaliate in honor. I never said it was easy. I said it's a commandment. It's something God commands us to do. Even when people disrespect you and accuse you of not being woke or whatever they say these days, you can show honor in return. Is this sounding familiar yet? So let me make it crystal clear. Jesus gave it all and honored us even when we didn't deserve it. This is exactly what Jesus did for us, every single one of us. He decided to show honor. He said, you know what? You don't deserve it. He's looking at me. I'm looking at you, but he's looking at me. And I try and picture in my mind, I didn't deserve it because while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Anybody else in the room? Like, I was a mess. I was a hot mess. Drug addict, fornicator. Everything was wrong with me. Everything was wrong with me. And I did people so wrong all the time, I don't even like talking about it. But it's important to talk about, because it's important to understand that while I was like that, while I was dishonorable, he died for me. He took up that cross and was beat and spit on. He did all that for me. While I was a dirt bag, he did it for you. While you were much less of a dirt bag. I know. I know where I'm at. I know who I am. I've done it really, really bad. But we all feel that way, don't we, sometimes? We all feel like, man, I messed up big time. I messed up big. There's no way I deserve this. In your prayer time, and I encourage you to have some, you know what? Right now, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Because I think we need to talk to God this morning. Everyone online, if you would as well. So everyone in-house, please, let's get into an attitude of prayer right now. And if you're listening online and you, if you're driving, please keep your eyes open. But I want you to imagine the worst thing that you did, the worst thing you've ever done. You don't have to say it out loud. Please don't. And I want you to imagine Jesus dying for you while you're doing that thing. I know this might be painful for some of you to do. I know that feeling. But I want you to imagine that Jesus honored you. He loves you. He cared for you that much when you were at your worst. It seems to me like the least we could do, God help us, in this attitude of prayer, help us to have just a fraction of that kind of honor for others, even when they're at their worst, that we would take up our cross, that we would bear whatever burden comes our way and show love. And in this moment, Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts and minds. And if there's anyone here that wants to renew their relationship with Jesus, maybe you're here today and you used to serve the Lord. You used to be with him. You used to have a good connection with him. You used to be close with him. And you veered off course a little bit. Maybe not even a lot, but a little bit. You know you're not where you should be. You've become unsubmitted somewhere along the line. I'm going to give you an opportunity to renew that today, to renew your relationship with God. And maybe you've never considered a relationship with Jesus. You didn't even know that Jesus did all these things for you. And I want to encourage you today, if that's you, that there is no time like the present. There is no time like right now to say, Jesus, I'm ready to go all in for you. I'm ready to go all in. Show me this life you want me to live. Show me the way to go. If that's you today, with heads down, eyes closed, I just want you to lift your hand up so I know I'm praying for you today. Amen. I see you. Amen. That's awesome. That is amazing. And if you're online, just would you go ahead and comment? There's someone there who wants to pray for you too. But let's pray this prayer together, everyone. This is a prayer of submission, asking for forgiveness. And this is something that we can all pray. So just repeat this after me. Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross while I was still a sinner, to take the punishment for my sins. I give it all to you. Show me the way to go and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate. Some people made that decision today, and it is so, so exciting. Amen, amen. So, you know, we have a couple more things that are going to go on before we dismiss, but I'm going to dismiss you very soon. But one thing I want to remind you of is the giving. We do have some giving going on that you can do. I want to thank you guys so much for being generous during this season. And you, even though people have been out of work, people have been a little bit down on their luck, you've been so faithful. You've been so giving. You've been so compassionate. You've been so caring. And we've been able to bless people all around because of your generosity. So the ways to give are up there. I'm not going to belabor that too much because you guys are doing a great job at it. You're doing a great job continuing to give. So you can do it those ways right there. If you're only listening and you can't see, I'll say it for your benefit. Text any amount to 84321, giving box by the exit, lifelinelodi.com to give that way, or the Facebook donate button. And life groups are starting right now. Come on, let's give it up for life groups. They're amazing. Life groups are life-giving right now. I would encourage you. There's so many groups to choose from right now. You can go on our website, and you can sign up for life groups a couple different ways. You can sign up on our website, or you can download the Planning Center app, and you can go into a life group that way. There's plenty to choose from. Right now in this season, it's crucial. Like, maybe you can't make it online right now. I'm talking to you online. Maybe you can't make it to church right now, but you can make it to a life group. So important that you get involved in one of our life groups. That's why we're opening them back up, because they're smaller, safer, but ways to get face to face so that you can get what you need, because we've got to be eyeball to eyeball. Amen, everybody? So good. You can also go through Growth Track to join the team. We do it after church today. Come on, let's all stand to our feet as I pray for you. I'll pray a blessing over you today before you go. As you're standing up, I'd like for you to just hold your hands out right in front of you like this, as if you're going to receive something. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every single person in this place, Lord, that you would bless all the relationships that we're in, Lord. This is something that we need so much, Lord, that we would be strengthened in our relationships and be tied close together. I pray for your blessing in that. Lord, I also pray over the finances of the church, if anybody's struggling, Lord, that we would put our trust in you with our money. Lord, that you would be a blessing in the midst of that and prove yourself faithful once and for all. And finally, last but not least, I pray for the health of the church, Lord, that there would be so much health and so many stories of people overcoming illness right now in a season of sickness and disease and fear of that. Lord, we know you're our healer, and we stand in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's all celebrate what God is doing. He is so good. We love you. God bless you, and we will see you next week.